You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah, welcome back to another thrilling episode of the 12FL Radio Show. I'm Jeff Thrashenkill. With me I've got 365 Days of Horror, and hey, we also got Brenicide in the mix. And we wanted to do a big show for you, but I didn't see anything at all that happened, and I have nothing to discuss. How about you, Jordan?
Just all quiet on the Western Front, just really nothing going on this week.
Yeah, pandemic has made the fucking coffers bare. How about you, Bruno?
Slowest week ever. Nothing. Just nothing at all.
Do we even want to do this shit this week? We can just hope something happens between now and the next week and then come back?
I'll tell you what, let's record us just kind of saying that nothing happened. Just fart out that recording to the viewers who don't really deserve, listeners, I should say, I don't deserve more, and just kind of throw it out there, and then let's just get on with our Sunday and try and find something, anything going on.
Well, there's NFL football, so, you know, yeah. All my rowdy friends are going to come over and we'll do that.
Perfect. Perfect. We're going to talk about NFL football all next episode.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. Later. Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah, I guess there were a couple other things that slipped my mind. I guess the past week went a little haywire. You know, some things happened, you know, I didn't necessarily see coming. How about you guys?
It's one of those things where it's shocking, but not entirely surprising, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
There's been lots of warning signs and little bits of news here and there that probably more people in Paris have been paying attention to. But, yeah, here we are.
Well, let's go ahead and speak on the matter that I think, you know, is top of mind for every listener of this show. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Our long campaign is over to enact a cancel culture against Tommy Vext. We have declared victory. Our tango is down. That's right. Tommy Vext is out of the Bad Wolves.
We called it.
We called it. We did our due diligence slandering his character at every turn. And I'd like to think, you know, we did a pretty good job.
In record time.
Yeah, just about nailed it, honestly.
I mean, it was like 2 weeks ago that we were predicting this, weren't we?
2 weeks exactly, yeah. So, good for us. If nothing else, we got another one.
Yeah, it's like, since the last 4 years, something that has been coming up again and again is a phrase along the lines of sometimes an entire decade can happen in a week. And that's been this week. I mean, the Tommy Vext situation really is that monumental to all of us. I think we can all agree that he was one of the most major players in modern metal music, of course, and really important and really valid and necessary for a successful group to flourish. And so, you know, you cut off the head of the serpent there. I mean, you essentially kill an entire genre.
Well, old Tommy Vext here is 3 for 3 of getting thrown out of bands now, right?
he was kicked out of Divine Heresy, yeah. With Dino. He was kicked out of the reunited Snot. I believe he was kicked out of his own band, Vexed.
How the fuck do you do that?
take such an L. It's just like, you have to kick yourself out.
It's like when you go on Metal Archives and you see like a one-man band is on hiatus or broke up or split up. It's like, how did that happen?
There were irreconcilable differences with myself.
We're breaking up so we can all remain friends.
Yeah. Joke all you want, but that's how I feel about, like, every day. Is I just have irreconcilable differences with myself.
Well, I mean, that's fair and all, but you've also haven't, like, tried to start a whole right-wing grift or, you know, beat the shit out of your ex-partner. So, you got that going for you.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the tab, loudwire.com, which is just only a blabbermouth.net what's the word I'm looking for? Not congregation, but
I know it's on the tip of my tongue. It's bothering me now.
I'm not gonna edit this out. We're just a humiliating bunch of, you know.
It's early
podcast
aggregate site.
Aggregation was the word I was looking for. I'm gonna close the Loudwire tab, which is just a blabbermouth.net aggregation site and literally nothing else. And I'm gonna open the blabbermouth.net tab to discuss how this went down and what the band had to say about it and everything else. So, Bad Wolves officially part ways with singer Tommy Vext. The remaining members of the band confirmed the split in a statement earlier today, and by today this was January 9th, 2021. They wrote, "It is true that Bad Wolves and vocalist Tommy Vext have parted ways. The four of us plan to continue making music, and a new album is planned for later this year. Tommy has been a big part of Bad Wolves, and we are grateful for his contributions. There's not much else to report at the moment, but we send love and gratitude to the fans who have supported Bad Wolves from day one. We would not be here without you. All the best, Chris, Doc, Kyle, and John."
I think, I don't know the, you know, all the equations that go into deciding if your successful band needs to cut ties with somebody or not. But I do think that Doc Coyle got sick of people on Twitter telling him, like, yeah, what the fuck is up with your bandmate, dude?
Maybe, possibly. I guess how the story broke was Vexed was on some kind of Instagram live video where he's just bitching and moaning. He was insisting that he was forced out by his bandmates and his record label. Like, what a phone call to get. Like, your record executive has to fucking get out of bed and call your dumbass.
Todd from accounting.
Right, yeah. The record label Better Noise Music.
Yeah, that label that we all know and are familiar with.
Right. Does anyone know? A dollar for anyone who can name a different band from Better Noise Music.
Well, now I'm just going to their website and looking at their artist.
Doesn't
count. Oh, what a shock. All That Remains.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Imagine being such a dickhead that the management of All That Remains calls you and says you're done.
Yeah, enough. I think that's a little too far, bro. Yeah, Better Noise Music, but apparently...
I'm sorry. I got to cut you off. I'm still looking at their artist website.
Oh, please.
Five Finger Death Punch.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
In Flames.
Confusing.
Motley Crue. Papa Roach, 6 a.m., Nelly Furtado.
What?
What?
Tommy Lee, AWOL Nation, and a couple other things I've never heard of.
Aside from Nelly Furtado, this is probably the worst roster I can think of.
Nelly, you could do better.
You really can't. Well, I don't know. I guess her heyday was, like, you know, 15 years ago.
I'm like a bird, signed to Better Noise Music. Over his, so apparently he was kicked out over his conservative political views, and you hear the spectrum of the morons they have on their roster there. How is that possible? How do you manage that?
I don't think he was kicked out for his conservative views. I think he was kicked out for bad PR.
Just a constant stream of bad PR over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's sure he has bad political views. You know, he was... he's been on the Alpha MAGA train brain wellness thing for a while, and you know all of that is just toxic and stupid and whatever. But you know that's how he was making enough to afford his supplements. But I think it was probably mostly having to deal with his legal trouble due to beating the shit out of his ex-girlfriend.
I'm gonna assume that's it, right?
Yeah. I could be wrong. I'm not on the board at, what is it, Better Music?
What a fucking board to be on, huh?
Yeah.
Like, imagine being in charge of the PR sector of Better Noise Music, like having to wrangle in these chuds.
It sounds terrible. Can you imagine setting up the deal where you're proposing to the Papa Roach dude that you you do the video, you create a rap for The Who?
The Who are also on that label. So
how about that?
There you go.
Synergy.
I think probably the final nail in the coffin is over the past couple of days, Tommy Vex tweeting out conspiracy theories about the Capitol insurrection, rather. And he tweeted out the picture of one of these chuds standing up at the main chair in the Senate, in all caps saying, "What the fuck? This was a stage shoot. You see this?" And it's like a photographer circled in red pointing down to the guy, and then in all capital letters, "Not MAGA. This looks staged to you. Fist in the air. Classic Trump supporter signal, right?" And I just think all of this together is finally what put an end to him.
I think when your personal brand or whatever is flailing out of control, maybe you should shut the fuck up for a little bit and let things die down. But instead, he doubled down.
I just want to say, I'm not a photographer. I don't assume to know anything about stage shooting or anything like that, or aperture of your camera. I don't fucking know anything. But I don't typically believe that when you have a staged shoot, you have a cameraman pointing down from the back of the neck of the subject from behind up on a fucking podium in the back.
It's in terms of composition, it's very poorly put together.
It's like they red circle the fucking cameraman as like objective proof. This is what's going on, people. Open your fucking eyes, you sheep.
I think that is one of my just favorite remnants of, right-wing brain sickness, is that as soon as you circle a picture, something in a picture, it doesn't matter what, and you put some Comic Sans with MS Paint on top of it, that you have uncovered some kind of conspiracy.
Speaking of pictures that were circled, I think we have a great one that we can share, we can discuss. You had did a bit of photograph editing yourself over this week, my good buddy Joe. Apparently there is a personality somewhere on Twitter that we have discussed in the past who just had to share a take on all of this, and I think that we should probably touch on that briefly.
Well, I would like to just give some backstory here. If you started listening to the show recently, again, that's weird. That's weird. Very strange to me. But to give some backstory, Breno, you first joined the show as a guest specifically to shit on this one metal media personality.
I would love to go back and listen to that show.
It's both of us doing just insanely horrific impersonations of this fella.
Yeah, maybe a little bit out of mode. One I try to avoid as much as fucking possible, my dude.
But the chemistry was so good from coming on the show to shit on this dumb motherfucker that you became a permanent host and a permanent friend, Breno. So I would like to thank Jose Mangan for bringing us together, and I would like to thank Jose Mangan for finding common ground within the metal sphere of everyone telling him to shut the fuck up.
I've never seen such a pile-on in my life of just usually the same take of please be quiet.
When I first saw his dumbass statement, I was a little bit disheartened. But as the hours and days piled up, so too did people saying, "No, I've had enough of this shit, Jose Mangan, no more."
So do we have the tweet in front of us? If not,
yes, we do.
Okay, let's talk about so this whole thing went down in the Capitol, which we're going to get into quite a bit more. But immediately after it all went down, and certain subjects were seen being involved in this whole situation, Jose Mangan immediately went to his overpriced phone and shared his shared his thoughts on this whole situation and how we should react as metal fans. So
do you think his overpriced phone has like a Pantera case around it with like a big weed leaf?
I think it has.
He's
like
got one
a
of those pop
case.
Sockets.
He's like, he had some 14-year-old girl just like custom bejeweled case for him.
Oh my god! It's the Swarovski crystals with the Pantera and the weed leaf.
yeah, it's got to be like the green sparkling weed leaf.
Just rhinestones, fucking Slayer on the back.
Oh, it's art, truly, in my mind.
Our man popped up online, and it's worth noting that Jose does not really have any kind of serious presence on social media. Like, he'll post pictures of, you know, Puya in the studio. He'll post pictures of him and his wife, like, shopping at Gucci. He'll say, like, hey, I'm going live on Sirius XM Liquid Metal in 15 minutes. That's about the extent of what he does on the internet.
Right. Otherwise, I'd have a lot more fun with him.
Yeah. I've been following him for years because I too have a brain sickness, but that doesn't matter.
Like, the Gucci store was the highlight of the year.
Yeah.
He has 92,000 followers.
That is insane to me, because his content is dog shit. It's very, very poor.
It's just a name you recognize and you hit follow so that you can have your curated dumbest favorite, like, you know, Twitter followers ever.
It's pretty bad. But let's go ahead and get into a statement here. Common ground equal heavy music. Let's focus on what we all hold close to our heart. And for us metalheads, it's our music. What happens when someone falls in a mosh pit? Do we ask them who they favor politically? Or do we just automatically pick them up and continue rocking?
Rocking.
I mean, and of course he closes it out with like the devil horns emojis, because of course he's a fucking cartoon character.
How do I properly parody a guy like that? I just wish I could hurt so many feelings enough that that stops happening.
I mean, I looked at this. My first reaction was to reply to him and say, shut the fuck up, which a lot of people did.
A lot of people.
And then my second reaction was, wait a minute. Jose Mengen is featured in an incredibly famous photograph. you'll remember a few years ago, I believe it was 2016, at a Ride for Dime performance in which a lot of people were there, including Dave Grohl, which a lot of people forget about. He got memory hold out of this one. But you had Jose Mengen on stage shittily doing vocals alongside Phil Anselmo. Phil Anselmo, for whatever reason, decided to close out the set with a white power and a Sieg Heil to the audience. So there is a grainy photograph of Phil doing his proud Hitler salute and Jose Mangan's dumbass right behind him.
I remember Jose Mengen was like famously, he was like talking to the crowd while this was going on. And
yes.
Everybody was so rowdy and gave so little of a fuck about Jose Mengen that he had no control over the situation whatsoever. And like, you got Phil in the background just be like, white power! Fucking losing his mind, Sieg Heiling the crowd. And Jose Mengen in the background just like, he literally just goes, like, he hears the whole thing. He was there. He absorbed it into his mental space that this occurred in front of him. He said not a fucking thing.
Not a fucking thing. I might have this wrong, but I'm pretty sure I don't, because I have studied this event extensively. I don't believe he ever made a statement on this shit.
No,
he just
statement.
Hoped that it would go away.
I looked for one because I was like, there he is. He saw it happen. He's a guy from Mexico. Like, he's watching some fucking...
I don't think he's from Mexico. I think he's from Arizona.
Is he not from Mexico?
No, I think he's like second or third generation.
Ah, well, his wonderful abuelita must be from Mexico and taught him to be such a good boy that he is. So I'll walk back on that one. But I mean, he's a man of color. We'll agree there.
Yeah.
But But for him to just like not regard it at all or say anything or cut ties even, it just, I think he's probably had Phil on the show since.
Almost certainly. somebody that has, you know, really made his nut off of being the number one Pantera super fan. Yeah, I'd say that he probably also chucked that one down the memory hole. So anyway, I just thought that, you know, considering he was making a statement in the midst of incredible display of right-wing violence, that it might be useful to just say, like, hey, in as few words as possible, look at you being complicit.
You really nailed it. and you didn't use the red circle, which I have to give you credit for. You edited in on Twitter. You got the stickers, right? You just put in a big pointing down emoji, like a gigantic one, like a ludicrously large one where I can see you in my mind expanding it as large as it could go and just and just pointing down on his dumb fucking dumbstruck complicit face.
Yeah. And I think that, as you know, we've done this show for a long ass time. We have strong opinions about all kinds of things. I fucking hate this tendency to toss out any kind of belief that you might have, any kind of principle in favor of let's all get together in the pit, brothers, because I don't want to fucking be in the pit with a lot of you.
Right. I'm not going to pick up a Nazi in the pit and just dust him off. I'm going to pick him up and throw him over the side of a bridge.
This whole genre is rotten with disgusting people because of attitudes like people who, you know, Jose Mangan is as much of a fucking dope as he is. He's probably one of the most influential people within the sphere of metal. He runs two whole ass radio stations devoted to rock and roll and heavy metal, which I gotta say, very few of us can compare with that. So I think that this let's look past our differences bullshit has gotten us to where we are, which is to say in a very bad place indeed. And I apologize, Jordan. I've been just monopolizing this conversation. I'm sure that you've got thoughts on this one as well.
I have a lot of thoughts on it, and we can get into it in a minute. But he did respond to himself, or, you know, clarified after just getting thoroughly dumped on by everyone and their mother on Twitter. He later went on to say, this is a general wide-reaching statement. In no way am I saying to forget about racist slash domestic terrorism acts committed. I'm coming at this from a fisheye lens. We need to find commonality more than focus on our differences. We'll never get better and unite until we do that. And then a PC sign emoji.
Like, what is our goal here? What kind of common ground are we looking for?
I mean, like, Jose Mangan, if we discuss some of these differences, let's look at them. Oh, one of the differences is that these people want you and your entire race to be deported. Like, let's start there. But let's embrace those differences, bro. Let's horns in the pit, my dude.
I mean, I understand why he did this. Like, it's very clear to me that, you know, obviously this big world event happens, and as somebody with a platform, he felt some kind of need to make some kind of statement. However, he is hamstrung because he can't afford to alienate anyone that listens to his radio stations. He can't afford to lose his Affliction sponsorship deal. So if you think about the audience that listens to Sirius fucking XM Octane or Sirius Liquid Metal, I mean, there is a fair amount of chuds that just want to listen to, I don't know, Hell Yeah and Black Label Society. They listen every day. They love the completely apolitical nature of the program so that they can hear the riffs and then go back listening to fucking Hannity afterwards or whatever the hell it is they like. So he can't afford to piss those guys off. He has to make a statement, but it can't be a real statement. It just has to be a bunch of fucking pablum.
He's got to be the Walmart of metal guys.
Right. And I appreciate that as a community, as a metal community, we united together to say, shut the fuck up, you baby brain bitch.
If we can quote someone as calling him a baby brained bitch, let me know. I'll add him right now that he's a baby bitch live on air.
I'll wear that t-shirt. So I know normally we kind of go off the cuff and don't have a lot of prepared things when we do this show, but after
I want to push back against that. Let it be known that this entire show from the beginning has always been tightly scripted.
So, you know, just seeing that, and I've just kind of been thinking about what he was saying and kind of why it bothers me and why I have a problem with it. So I actually wrote down some of my thoughts and gathered it together. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just kind of read it.
I think it would be very nice. Please do this.
And it'll kind of bleed into our further discussions that I'm sure everyone has been waiting for up to this point. But this is kind of in response to the rushed and hollow calls for commonality and unity, specifically in the metal community, in a direct response to what we were just talking about. In the days that have followed the failed insurrection on the United States Capitol, countless numbers of pundits, personalities, and regular people have tried to piece together just what happened. The usual questions of who, what, where, when, and why have been raised and slowly put together. Those that have been warning for years of such a moment were sadly vindicated, while certain individuals who stoked those fires slink back into the shadows, hoping their miscalculation won't hurt their business or, in some cases, the chance to become president. Hundreds rioted, most without trying to hide their identities. This has obviously led to the identification and growing number of arrests of people from all over the country. Communities are now being confronted with family members, friends, and neighbors being revealed as treasonous, violent terrorists. Shock and surprise eventually gives way to introspection, which is where many of us are now. Naturally, smaller niche communities have begun their own self-reflections, and heavy metal is no different. John Schaefer, guitarist and principal songwriter for Iced Earth, was photographed storming the Capitol building and, as of right now, is being sought by the FBI for questioning. Although Schaefer's involvement came as shock to some, longtime readers of the toiletofhell.com and listeners of the Toilet of Hell podcast are well aware of Schaefer's extreme political thoughts. From his involvement with the violent radical anti-government Oath Keepers, to his wearing of Confederate flags, to his over-the-top freedom-loving sideband Sons of Liberty, to his appearance on far-right conspiracy theorist Alex Jones's show. This information has been widely available because Schaefer has not tried to hide it. Now it is finally catching up to him. While most of the metal community and beyond have castigated Schaefer, they are, as expected, defenders as well. Empty shouts of the First Amendment and Liberty ring pretty hollow in the wake of 5 deaths. There has also been a third response which has cropped up that tries to avoid any sort of conflict, a soft middle ground approach that will not rock the boat and hurt the bottom line. Broad, carefully worded condemnations of the riots, but not of Schaefer himself, has been issued from Iced Earth and his Demon Wizards bandmate Hansi Kirsch, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. According to both, the violence is bad, and that's all we have to say about that. They have to say something, but not enough to lose fans or fully remove themselves from their money-making projects. Then there are the people who want to avoid the situation altogether in a misguided attempt at unity. In the age where the VJ is extinct and terrestrial radio is on the way out, a person like Jose Mangan, who hosts national radio shows, is one of the few non-musician celebrities in the metal world. Beyond that place of prominence, we have some writers, bloggers, and social media personalities. It's not much, so that means his words tend to hold more weight, as he is a recognizable figure that reaches a large audience on a daily basis. In the aftermath of the failed insurrection and revelation that a well-known metal musician participated, and I'm assuming he's referencing Schaefer and not ex-Misfits vocalist Michael Graves, who also attended, but nobody cares about
him. It's a safe assumption.
He tweeted out that message. While the sentiment may be nice on the surface and calls for unity, it doesn't hold much weight in reality. The calls of a unified metal community are really just a hope or dream. Dreams are not impossible, but they require serious work and actions to be achieved. There cannot be a peaceful, loving metal community when leaders and tastemakers, such as Mangan, want to brush aside the very real and very serious divisions that have been pervading the scene since its inception. Pick your poison and has found a place in metal. Racism, misogyny, homophobia, anti-trans, ableism, you name it. If you can name it, a metal band has probably written a song about hating it. While many speak out against these hatreds, there has also been that soft middle ground where people refuse to deal with serious and hurtful issues, citing that they just, quote, like the music. It's this laissez-faire attitude that has allowed a genre like NSBM to not only exist but continue to thrive. Punk fought Nazis and kicked them out. Hardcore fought Nazis and kicked them out. Metal, in general, just kind of shrugged and allowed them to stick around. By doing so, these people have learned to tone down their rhetoric enough to start or join other bands, get signed to better-known labels, and subtly reach a much larger audience. It is one of the many blind spots in metal that continues to fester and push us apart rather than bring us together. Of course, it's not just racism that metal has had trouble in coming to terms with. Just ask Tim Lambesis, who went to jail for trying to hire a hitman to murder his wife. After his release, As I Lay Dying reformed and played sold-out shows. David DeSanto of Vector violently abused his wife. Vector just released new music a few weeks ago, which was promoted by a well-known blog. And how can we forget former Pantera frontman Phil Anselmo screaming white power and Sieg Heiling on stage? It would be hard for Mangan to forget because he was standing right next to him. Anselmo currently has about 3 or 4 active bands, and Down is getting back together. How can we continue rocking when we let people like this continue? Following the initial backlash, Mangan clarified his tweet, which we've just discussed. His desire to find commonality rather than focus on differences may be well-intentioned, but chooses to ignore ongoing and underlying issues. It asks us to ignore the real world and put your arm around the sweaty person next to you at the show when Raining Blood plays over the PA. This is the equivalent of Marge Simpson saying, quote, "Now let's forget all our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream. Ignore the difficult stuff, listen to the music, and everything will be better. While a common interest in a specific genre of music may bring us together, it does not bind us together. We live in the real world where real things happen, and they do not magically go away based on a shared love of a riff or lyrics. Unity, not the kind being preached by elected Republicans now culpable in a failed coup attempt, but actual unity, cannot simply be achieved just by wishing for it. Real serious steps must be taken if we really want to make it happen. We cannot be all about the music if the music makers and providers want to suppress or destroy those for simply existing. We cannot be all about the music if we cast a blind eye and sweep the bad actors under the rug. You have to draw the line. One would think, quote, actively trying to overthrow the government would be that line, but you might lose a couple listeners or Twitter followers in the process. Commonality is not good enough, especially after the events of last week. We can't ignore the bad stuff because it makes us uncomfortable or may risk the bottom line. If we truly want to get better and unite, then we have to work for it. We have to listen to those that have been pushed aside and marginalized. We have to listen and learn from our mistakes so that we may move forward. Otherwise, we are bound to repeat ourselves with growing regularity and increasing severity. Metal has brought many of us together and has, in fact, saved lives. Think of how many more people can be helped if we actually work at it and improve it.
I think that's pretty concise way of putting all of this together without calling somebody a baby brain bitch. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I'm usually the kind of person who purveys the latter. But yeah, no, that was excellent. That kind of really puts all the ways that I feel definitely into, you know, the just a couple short takes. You know, it's just like I think that it's a bigger issue in metal than just about anywhere. The way that centrism is just so applauded and how it's just like, fuck politics. It's all about the music, bro. And I don't know, man, like some of these people just have some of the worst opinions in the world and they go unchecked and they go unchallenged. And it's kind of just like, especially at this point, seeing what happened, seeing what's been happening, it's kind of like too little too late. It's enough is enough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this a lot, about feeling alienated from metal in general because of all of the various shitbags that have pervaded the scene for decades. And I think that this toothless call for unity in the middle of something that is so far out of your hands now is pretty pathetic. Pretty pathetic indeed.
I think if there's any unifying factor here, it should be in the condemnation of these people specifically.
I agree, and it shouldn't even be hard to do.
Not like, at all. Like, I work, I mean, I have a blue-collar job. I work next to Republicans. A lot of those people are like, man, these guys are fucking nuts. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they have tons of shitty views themselves, but there's a line that's capable of being drawn somewhere. And I think, especially now we can get into John Schaefer because Jordan brought it up, but like people like John Schaefer need to, we all need to get together and agree that this guy has to suffer consequences for what he was involved in.
I'm curious because I guess since seeing all of this shit laid out, seeing thousands of people descend upon the Capitol, none of them, absolutely none of them, bothering to hide who they are. Like, you got motherfuckers showing up in the halls of the Capitol wearing their goddamn work ID badges.
I was thinking about that, and, you know, beyond the just being so stupid that you refuse to wear a mask in a pandemic, I think a lot of these people, these white middle-aged men, for the most part, have gone through their entire life never being challenged or checked or suffering the consequences of their action. They've never had to deal with being a giant shithead and getting knocked out for it. So they're just like, well, I'm just going to storm into the Capitol building and smash some stuff because nothing bad has ever happened to me before. It won't happen now. And well, if it isn't the consequences of my actions.
Not to mention that these guys are like privileged enough that they've probably gotten away with everything they've ever done. I mean, most people don't have the time and the money to go fly to the fucking Capitol on a, what was it, like a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Like, most of us have jobs and bills to pay.
Yeah. I think that, I hope that it has become very apparent from, you know, the upper middle class riot that, you know, the actual base, the most virulent MAGA types are not, you know, your suffering sons of the soil. It's
like
the
CEOs,
it's the fucking,
of companies.
Yeah, it's the there. Used Ski-Doo dealership guy that inherited it from his dad. And I think that beyond, I guess, being shocked a little bit by, you know, the display of the display of herd-like violence, my primary takeaway from the siege on the Capitol is I can't imagine feeling for a moment of my life, for even one simple moment, feeling so confident that nothing bad would happen to me that I wouldn't bother to cover up my identity in the least bit when I was going out specifically to do bad illegal shit.
I mean, they were live streaming committing crimes.
I saw a court document that West Virginia state rep, in the court documents, it has a recording from his phone where he says, and I quote, "Derek Evans is in. Derek Evans is in the Capitol," like Steve Holt narrating his own illegal actions.
Might as well have just said his social security number while he was at it.
Yeah, like the Life Alert guy.
Give me the security code on the back of your credit card if you could, man. Thank you.
The fella what went in and stole the speaker's it's not a podium, what is it?
Lectern.
This guy, I'm obsessed with this guy because he has the life that I've always wanted. He's a stay-at-home dad who makes furniture with his free time, and his wife is a doctor. Can you imagine a better life than that? That's such an amazing setup.
And he threw it all away.
He threw it all away to go take some cheeky photos stealing a goddamn lectern.
Smiling and waving.
He's a stay-at-prison dad.
Man, like, can you imagine, like, just putting that unbelievable burden on your family after you've had it so sweet for so long? Now your doctor wife has to take care of your five fucking children because you fucked around.
Let's be real. This even if he was a stay-at-home dad, this guy was a huge burden on his family. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine him being anywhere close to a good father or helping out or contributing in any major way? Or do you just really realize that there's five shitting diapers screaming in one room and he's over there fucking sanding a coffee table in the other one?
Now yeah. Who will warm up the SpaghettiOs?
He strikes me as an incredibly charming person, and I think that that's enabled him to get away with a lot in life up to this point.
I do like seeing the mugshots of some of these guys who were doing this stuff because they thought they could hide their identity by shaving their beards.
Worth a shot.
Yeah. Should have went to Acapulco, my dudes. Yeah. Well, there's one more mugshot that I've been dying to see, and as it's the aforementioned John Schaefer, and that's been blowing up my internet recently. I mean, it's like the tip of everybody's tongue. He's being sought by the FBI right now. I don't know if they got him yet.
On the FBI's website, on their like the homepage, the most wanted list, John fucking Schaefer, who has not been the most wanted in a very long time.
Completely unwanted. John Schaefer is now seriously wanted. I can't believe it's happening. The airline's rejecting me. I'm a U.S. citizen. God damn it. Paying for a motel hourly. Can't fly home. The FBI is coming for me. No fly zone. Now I can't get out of D.C.
I don't want to downplay the seriousness of this whatsoever, because what happened is it's frankly insane. It's just incredibly funny to me that after all of these years of talking about like what an insane oaf this guy is, that here we are. You have fully jumped right in. You went and put yourself as a part of an armed insurrection, and now you're on the FBI most wanted list. That's pretty wild shit to me.
He grew out a silver goatee, and I said nothing. He put on wraparound sunglasses, and I said nothing.
Man, he's aged really fucking poorly.
Very bad. I believe he's early 50s, maybe late 40s. He's not that old.
Well, he's got the Varg white going on. Like, something about being so consumed with hatred that it turns your skin and your hair white.
It's like Emperor Palpatine, dark side shit, like we always say. Huh? So, yeah, it was... It's been an exciting week. You know, there's a photograph. We're going to probably share that as the header of this, of John Schaefer, not just being part of the collection of morons that were there in Washington protesting. He was inside the Capitol. He breached it. He did the things he wasn't supposed to do. And now he is wanted by a federal agency.
And I guess... It must be that everyone involved is kind of shocked that this is happening now, that the FBI would be involved. Because as I was mentioning before, everybody just kind of assumed that everyone would go with it, right? Like, to be fair, a lot of the cops stood down. Like, in the moment, you must think, all right, well, we did it. We're winning.
They had no plan. It was like, we're going to get into the Capitol building and... You know, question mark, question mark, question mark, freedom.
Yeah, there were some holes in the plan, and it does make me kind of thankful that Donald Trump is like the laziest human being on earth, because I feel like if he had put more effort into this, that there might be some kind of real force that had potential to. Change the tides of all of these systems in place, but I you know, nobody bothered to do their homework.
I bothered to do some homework. Part of that homework was tracking down some statements related to what John Schaefer did by creative people immediately in his life, more specifically his bandmates and people who have been in bands with him.
So I would like to call out that, you know, the day of this whole thing, people were posting pictures like, holy shit, that's John Schaefer. And there was a lot of like, nah, that can't be him. Followed by fucking Stu Block on Instagram like, hey, it's our boy. Look at him go.
Well, he had, I actually have it here in front of me. Our friend Nina from A Sound of Thunder got a screenshot of it. And it's, I believe, a Facebook post from Stu Block saying, "Oh, it's happening. History in the making. Sending love to my friends in the U.S. and all over the world." And the person responded, "Are you condemning what happened today, Stu?" And Stu Block responded with, "And where in my statement would you get that impression?"
Ah. Let's go ahead and check on statements that won't age poorly.
So this particular statement, it's by the other members of Iced Earth. All the other people that are in this band that are not the Iced Earth guy. We always talk about the guy. John Schaefer is the guy with this band. Every other guy has left. It's just him. So here's what they all had to say in just like a sweeping wide statement, I'm assuming would be on Instagram or something. "We want to thank those of you who have sent words of support in recent days. Some of you have been concerned by our silence, which we understand. We needed some time to properly process the information and find out some facts before we made a statement. First and foremost, we absolutely do not, in all caps, do not condone, nor do we support riots or the acts of violence that the rioters were involved in on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol building. We hope that all of those involved that day are brought to justice to be investigated and answer for their actions." Oh boy. "With broken hearts, we are sending our love and compassion to everyone who has felt pain from the events on January 6th. We are deeply saddened and our hearts go out to the families of the lives lost that day. There are really no proper words to console. Just know we are with you in your shock, grief, and pain. Much love to you all." And that's the end of the quote. There's really just nothing else at all. No specific mention of anybody.
There seems to be something very specifically missing from that statement.
Well, I love this part.
Weak.
Yeah. "We do not condone." this sentence, hold on. We hope that all those involved that day are brought to justice to be investigated and answer for their actions. It's, I mean, that hints at something, but, you know, say what you mean if you mean it.
Everybody, like, this vague booking shit is not going to cut it. Not like when, you know, half the band was online and fully supportive of this shit.
I'm just waiting for the Iced Earth statement. "Feeling kind of sad."
Yeah.
Frowny face.
They're going to change their social media profiles to just a black square for their profile picture.
Their relationship is, it's complicated.
Yeah, they're just going to, they're going to tweet, "I'm having a bad day." And I comment, "Oh, what's wrong?" They're going to go, "I don't want to talk about it."
Yep.
But I go ahead.
I love this. You know, this is a band of 50-year-olds.
Yeah. We're talking about some questionable fashion choices. Any given band photo. This is just, this is who they are as a band. And like I said, I mean, I haven't really been too familiar with original members of Iced Earth outside of John Schaefer and the slew of vocalists that he's gone through. I think Matt Barlow was a big deal, but he, like, after 9/11, he left to be a cop.
And then that's fucking wild.
and he came back to be a bald metal cop for a little while for a couple albums, and then he left again. Also had our boy Ripper in the band for a bit. Man, it's been a band.
Old Timothy Ripperton. We can't forget him.
Absolutely. And one more point. You brought up vague booking earlier, and I think I have some legendary vague booking that kind of broke through all of this. Hansi Kirsch, he's the lead singer of one of my favorite bands, Blind Guardian, because, you know, I lost my virginity, so now it's like, why do I have to bother trying, right?
You can be who you really are.
This is who I really am, man. It's just Mountain Dew, Cheetos, anime, and Blind Guardian all up in this bitch. My deed has been done.
I respect that. You know who you are, and you won't let anything stop you from achieving that.
Hey, look, it's like the woman married me. That's her fault. Okay, she doesn't, she can't stop this train of chugging.
I never promised you a rose garden, baby, or or that I wouldn't stop wearing my Dragon Ball Z button up.
I might plant a rose garden. I think I could do that. But the Dragon Ball Z button up, no. So Hansi Kirsch, he is in a band with John Schaefer famously, which is actually, I don't know, if you're a Blind Guardian fan and an Iced Earth fan, it's actually pretty cool music, Demons and Wizards. Like, I was way stoked when that was a thing back in high school and college, being just the power metal nerd that I was. That was a big deal to me. That was a sick ass couple albums. And I'm sure that Hansi had something to say about this, because they not only were in a band together, but they were like longtime friends.
And they recently reformed.
Yeah, they've I think they put out a more recent album that I grew out of wanting to hear, but I guess, I don't know, maybe in moratorium for anything like this ever happening again, I should check it out. But Hansi took to the social medias, and in his very best English, he told us how he felt. And he said as follows. Quote unquote, "We are deeply shocked and our thoughts are with the relatives of the deceased. We expressly distance ourselves from any kind of violence, irrespective if applied against institutions or persons. The incidents will be thoroughly investigated and the responsibles will be brought to justice. We ask for your understanding that in view of the hourly news situation, we will not make any further comments at present."
That's pretty vague. Pretty vague.
Bad thing. Bad. No further comment.
Disappointing. Hansi. Sorry, I can't do the name right.
Hansel. Think like Hansel from what Hansel and Gretel.
I don't know. Would it kill people to directly address what everybody knows is happening?
Demons and lawyers, because, I mean, that's a straight-up lawyer statement.
It's yeah.
Oh yeah, this was like three record label lawyers had to. I mean, God knows things were thrown back at him and say, no, edit this.
I just, nobody can, you know, put out a statement saying like, oh man, John fucked up. I don't want to be associated with that shit anymore. Sorry about that, guys.
Got to protect the bottom line. That's what it's all about. You don't want to say anything bad about John, because just in case he doesn't get prosecuted or go to jail or anything, there's the chance that he might put out another Iced Earth album, so you don't want to hurt that gravy train.
That's true, and disappointing. I understand it, though. It's just dumb is all.
It's just dumb. And I don't know, man. I just don't really see what kind of legal ramifications would occur if they were to actually name John Schaefer. So I got to assume it's just a marketing thing. Like, it's just a PR move.
I guess there is the opportunity. There is a chance that John isn't going to be prosecuted, didn't necessarily do anything wrong aside from being there. It seems unlikely, but there is that possibility.
I guess that's true. Like, he could not face any charges or have those charges dropped, and he could sue people for saying he did this or that.
Like, I broke into the Capitol just trying to find out how to get away from there.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, straight up, protect the troops.
They're just legally protecting themselves from any slander or libel accusations, and you know, if they don't want to get kicked out of the band, that helps pay the bill. So best to say bad thing bad, and that's it.
Yeah. I know you gotta feel like you gotta get ahead of this, but it's like, I almost rather you say nothing. Like, if I was concerned about your silence, I should just stay concerned. I'm no less concerned now that you said something.
The ministry effect.
Yeah.
No, if somebody didn't straight up murder a cop, I'd think that a couple of the more visible meme figures from this would probably, you know, get arrested, get a slap on the wrist, and be over. But, well, they murdered a cop, so it's definitely. I could be wrong on this, but the way that I see this is that there's going to be kind of a roundup of quite a few people now. They fucked up. They did their thing that they, you know, they said that the Blue Lives mattered. They didn't matter, and that's not good. That's bad optics for all parties involved. So I think that, yeah, the hammer is going to come down on quite a few people. I don't know. I could be wrong, though. What do you think?
for a couple of people, for sure. I mean, some of the people that have been charged, I just read this morning that one person had like hundreds of like ammunition and weapons, some illegal weapons. There were pipe bombs placed that like no one else is really talking about anymore because I guess they didn't go off, so it's not news. But a gallows was built. People were talking about killing Mike Pence. This is, you know, for as little deaths as there were and as quickly as it fizzled out, because again, there was no plan. This was serious, like very serious.
I thought kind of at first that this was just a bunch of hooting freaks, like, you know, just raising a ruckus. But I started watching additional video, and man, like, there was some fucking harrowing shit. I saw a bunch of riot cops cornered in a hallway with hundreds of these hooting MAGA dipshits, like, rushing forward, like poking at their eyes. Like, it was insanely brutal stuff. And I guess at first glance, like, I kind of thought this was a big lark for these guys, but at least several hundred people in the crowd had different plans.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I can see the back of the pickup trucks parked outside of this thing, and I know that fucking blue line sticker is on them. Like, I know it. And it's just like, the cops are what you want when they're beating up the black people you don't like.
Right. And they've said as much. Like, you're not supposed to go after patriots. You're supposed to go after the BLM people, right, which is now shorthand for black people.
It's shorthand for something a little worse, yeah, probably. But I don't know, man. It's just, I can't imagine what it's like to wake up every day just being so proudly hypocritical of everything you do. I don't know how these people get respect, deserve respect, get what they want, can do what they want. I mean, we all saw how the government refused to get the National Guard involved, even though this was like an attack on a government building. You had like Secret Service guys cornered, just like barricading doors with fucking chairs and office equipment, because that's all they fucking had to defend themselves. They domed that dumb bitch, which was hilarious, and I'm not gonna back down on that.
That's another another thing that gets me, and I it kind of drives me to a larger point with this, is that, you know, that lady that got domed by a cop, she was young, successful, had a nice life in San Diego, and decided to go to the Capitol to fuck shit up, and ended up getting killed in the process.
I'm a soldier for freedom.
I mean, I got no love. Let me go ahead and clarify this in case I've misrepresented myself. I have no love for the police whatsoever. I don't think cops should be killing anybody. That's just a core belief that I have, but I understand why it happened. But I don't think it makes any sense to me, and this is why it's such a fucking anomaly and coming out of nowhere for me, is that having this armed insurrection against the government with no demand. Your only demand is to keep the president in power, and there's nothing else, no material conditions you want changed. You don't demand health care. You don't demand an end to police violence in your community. You don't demand better wages. You just want the fucking hosts of The Apprentice to stay in the Oval Office. That's it.
And
you're willing to throw your entire fucking life away. You're willing to fucking die in the prime of your life for that one goal. And I have to say, this, if you want to look at this from some kind of philosophical perspective, has to be a complete historical anomaly. I don't know if this has ever happened before.
Like, just a love so deep and immense and totally unfounded by anything for some guy sitting in office tweeting the dumbest shit ever said in history.
Willing to die for someone who hates your fucking guts.
Would not dribble piss on you if you were on fire.
Wouldn't scrape the shoe off your fucking domed corpse.
It is, and I think that kind of gets to what the core of this is so frightening, and that there are millions of people that are just as deeply committed to this cause as the thousands that showed up that day. I'm not going to pretend that every person that casts a vote for fucking Donald Trump is this person. Some of them probably just, I don't know, they got their own reasons. They're not necessarily like, I will die for this man. But there are a lot of people who will die for this man for reasons that I cannot grasp and I can never grasp.
Even outside of an echo chamber I might have formed myself on social media, I can't find the evidence. Like, it just...
What has he done for you? Aside from punish your enemies, like, that's the only silver lining I can think of. Sticking it to the fucking libs, that's the sole material change.
And, I mean, in regards to John Schaefer, I thought specifically this guy was a bit more on the libertarian side. He was a bit...
Certainly claimed that.
Definitely claimed that. He's against government, big government. It's just like, how can you be that kind of a guy and just have an undying affection and love and just blush in the mirror every time you think about the president of the United States?
He claims to be a libertarian, but also claims to be an anarchist, but is also part of a group that... focuses on the Constitution as like a solid, unchanging document, but wants to overthrow the government, but wants to keep this specific government in power. John Schaefer is a land of contrasts.
It's like I call up John Schaefer on his cell phone. He's sitting there in his slippers and his penguin pajamas, and I ask him, "Who do you like?" And then he finally blurts out Donald Trump. He throws the phone and he screams into his pillow.
I think that if we want to kind of look at this from a broader angle, John Schaefer is this land of contrasts. He claims that he's a libertarian or an anarchist, but he was willing to throw away his life and career to keep the big wet president in power, despite all of the contradictions that entails. And then you look at that World of Warcraft knockoff bitch, the Q Shaman or whatever, who is deeply involved in wellness and yoga communities, which have also been in just gone completely bonkers with all of this Save Our Children and QAnon bullshit, which all has this one totem of Donald Trump as somehow being a good thing. Other people that were at the Capitol include Ariel Pink and John Mouse, which if you're into what I would consider unlistenable indie music, those are big figures there, and have been since the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
These are not like dumb people. These are highly, they went to very nice schools. They keep very nice company. And if you were to follow, you know, all of the Pitchfork coverage and shit back in the day, you would think, oh, these guys are smart. They are obviously, you know, probably on the left, right?
Right. They wouldn't be where they were.
So it is every corner of American subculture that has come together with this one very baffling goal. And I don't think that any of this can get stuffed back into whatever hole it was in before.
Well, we can't allow it to get stuffed back in. We can't allow it for people in positions of power to say, let's all be united. Let's all come together. Now is not the time for impeachment. Now is not the time for the 25th Amendment. Let's all be friends and work together.
So there are some people that were involved in this or maybe supportive of this that I think have seen some of the blowback and decided that maybe they need to quiet down. And there are others that have decided the opposite, that now is the time to rise up against the tyranny of basically everyone around you that does not also support the president.
It's like the well-founded system of democracy that is the only thing that has kind of worked.
It doesn't even work that great, but it's one of the few things we have.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even in the grand scheme of things, like, even if you had fake votes or whatever they fucking said, it's like objectively more human beings on American soil wanted Joe Biden for president as opposed to Donald Trump. It's just, that's how it happened. That's how the vote went. And that wasn't the case when Clinton ran. She had more people vote for her, but she lost anyway because of the Electoral College. But with the Electoral College on its on his side, with the one way that Republicans can win because they know they're unlovable goblin creatures, like with the one thing they had to put them in power and keep them in power, he still lost. It's just like, where do you draw the line? Where do you kind of back off and just assume that, you know, maybe it just is what it is. Sometimes presidents get an office that I want. Sometimes that isn't that way. It's a pendulum. No matter what way it swings, it's going to swing my way eventually.
Just imagining a bunch of scorned Jimmy Carter voters like fucking shit up all across the country.
Yeah, it's like, you guys are going to get another Republican president. It's going to happen again. I don't want it to happen, but I know it's going to happen. And it's just like, really? It's got to be this dumb asshole. This is the one where you put your life on the fucking line.
It seems like, you know, I've been watching a confidence trick being played out over the last 5 years, and just like looking around and being like, I can't believe anybody would fall for this cheesy bullshit, while people are like, yes, I buy into this and I will fucking die for it. Like, it's just the biggest game of three card Monty you've ever seen.
It's like if you watch any of those specials on cults, like why people join cults and how they end up worshiping some of these really chudsy fucking weird guys with beards. It's just, it's got to be the same thing. There just must be some kind of charisma going on to this guy that most normal people cannot get a read on. But people who are, I don't know, just sensitive to it, or they just aren't smart enough to figure out the bullshit, just kind of flock to it in this way. And I mean, I don't know, man. I know they're going to try to impeach him. I know there's going to be a lot of deliberation over the next couple weeks or days, but man, like he just can't get the fuck out of that office fast enough.
But I guess more to the point, now that all of these people are out in the open, their asses are shown, as we like to say, their whole assholes are exposed. There's got to be some kind of reconciliation. Like, you can't just go along with it. Like, hey, that was pretty fucked up what you did back there, but you know, I'll pick you up if you fall in the pit. I could be wrong on that, but at least that's the way that I'm seeing it. Jordan, what do you think about it?
People will forget. People will move on. And it'll just happen again. Maybe not under Trump. Maybe under someone else who's a little bit smarter and a little more savvy. These people aren't going to go away.
Benghazi ain't going away.
And more people died during this than Benghazi, as other people have pointed out.
Nobody in Benghazi died by tasering their own balls until they had a heart attack.
That didn't happen.
The family said that didn't happen, and I'd like to think that if I died by tasering my balls to death, my family would also say that didn't happen.
I am putting it on your tombstone.
I hope that my family loves me enough to say, no, he didn't taser his balls until he died.
Yeah, we'll try, Joe. Just, you know, if you buy a taser, please let me know so I can have that story ready. Boys, we're about time. It's been a fucking week. And it's frustrating because we're a rinky-dink metal podcast, and we love it that way. And this shit is just, like, so much bigger than us as people, let alone metal podcasters. But you know, man, it's just like, I'm glad that we get a chance to at least tell the people who listen and tune in every week that this stuff's fucked up, but you know, hopefully it gets better. Hopefully there's going to be consequences that dissuade this sort of thing from happening again. One of my favorite tweets from the week was, well, that escalated evenly over 4 years. And no one could have put it better. I mean, just what we dealt with this last half a decade, it's really just something I don't think I ever would have expected a decade prior, you know. And I'm glad I'm still here and I survived it, and I'm glad you both survived it, and I'm glad we can keep doing the Rinky Dink Metal Podcast, my dudes.
I mean, in some ways it's terrifying. It's really a big shock to the system. And in other ways, it is somewhat gratifying to see all of these chickens come home to roost. All of these things that we've been talking about for so long. I'm not crazy. It's actually happening.
Yeah, many have told you so's abound. But that's going to be it for me, you guys. Want you to keep it metal, keep it safe, keep it indoors. Hopefully the pandemic's over soon and I get to shake hands with some of you beautiful people. Until then, I'll see you next week, okay?
Love you, everybody.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
I can't believe it's happening. The airline's rejecting me. I'm a U.S. citizen, paying for a motel hourly. Can't fly home. The FBI is coming for me. No fly zone. Now I can't get out of D.C.
Shalfa.